What I'm doing is really elementary strategy, but it's sometimes a kind of strategy that you don't pay attention to. You know, you'll think, I've got to write something, and eventually you'll look at it and see there's a lot of paper there without any indentations in it, and you'll say, oh, I've got to break this into paragraphs and indent somewhere. That's not really quite the way to do it. Once you have an idea of what you're saying, you know, as you're drafting it, then you want to think of what the strategy is, what your reader kind of, how you need to lead your reader to where you want to go. So paragraphs are strategic elements, and you use different ones for different moments in an argument, or for different kinds of discussion. So I'm going to look at three kinds, and I'm going to classify them just by where you put the topic sentence. You all know what a topic sentence is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So you've figured out what your main thesis is, and you've got this supporting point that you want to argue. Now, there are different kinds of supporting points. Even different kinds of theses. But if you have something that just requires explanation, say the psychological crisis of some character. Telemachus has a father complex. Okay, I'm going Freudian, sorry guys. All right. Then you would start to explain what that thing is. So you'd start with the thing that you're going to explain, and then you're going to define your terms. Well, what's a father complex? Well, how would I know that someone had it? Well, how would I know that Telemachus has it? He doesn't, don't worry about it. But that's what you would do. You'd start by saying what needs to be explained and explaining it. This is the lab report thing that you do. You know, we are going to investigate whether dioxychloroquine does such and such and such and such. And then our method will be to take the dioxychloroquine and combine it with some other horrible thing and then do some awful thing to it and then come up with a disaster at the end, which will prove that this happens that way. Right? This is your lab report. Okay, you probably don't use the word disaster, but it is how you do a lab report. It's also used for the lead in a news story. When people need to find out what you're doing this for first, the first line of a news story will say something like, a man was murdered on a Dallas highway or in a Dallas liquor store or something like this. And then they'll tell you who the man was, and then they'll tell you where the liquor store was, and then they'll tell you who did it, and or that they don't know who did it, or whatever. Okay, that's this basic explanation kind of paragraph. It makes your reader feel very secure. I know what we're going to do, and it's all going to be presented to me in this orderly way. It's often a very good opening strategy because it makes your reader feel so secure. Okay. That's one paragraph strategy. So, for strategy number one, topic sentence. Follow the topic. Definition. Explanation. Facts. And perhaps reasoning. I hope reasoning. The lab report should have reasoning in it, guys. That's really what they're trying to teach you. Okay, now. There's another
Well, if you put the topic sentence at the end,
it has a different effect. If I were to say, the suitors are symbolized by geese. Geese are smelly, geese are obnoxious, geese are ferocious, geese are stupid, geese are fat, and geese are greedy. Okay. And the suitors are all this way. I could say that. Let's arrange the paragraph differently and start by saying, geese are mean. Geese are smelly. Geese are loud and obnoxious. Geese are greedy. Geese leave messes wherever they go. And geese are the symbol for the suitors. How does that change things? Yes. It's emotionally more hot. So you're moving people, you're building up something that then we come to at the end, and it solves all of these things, and it pulls it together, and we feel so good. Or we feel so angry. Whatever it is, it tends to be used for sort of peroration, the end of things. It's a wonderful way to end things, often, to pile up all the evidence and then hit me with it. Or to give me a bunch of things that I can't understand, and then to make sense of them. That's why I call it the murder mystery strategy. You leave all your clues, and then you solve it at the end. It involves the reader a great deal, but it's also very insecure. So it tends not to be used as an opening gambit. Occasionally, you find it used that way, but it tends to be to go more toward places where you're building up the emotion, and that would tend to be a little bit more toward the end. Okay, so you have these two possible strategies. You can keep it cool and informative. You can make it hot and involving, but insecure. Let's say you need to do a change-up somewhere. You've presented the counter-arguments, or you have counter-arguments, and what you need to do at this point, you know, you've realized that, okay, let's say I'm going to argue that Calypso didn't love Odysseus. Okay. Well, she says she loves Odysseus. She does caring things for Odysseus. You know, there are all these other things. So I have my list of things that Calypso did that would indicate that, despite the fact that he's held in prisoner against his will for 7 years, she really loves him. Okay. No, she offers to make him a god and all this stuff. So I would have all of this evidence. So what do I do to deal with the counter arguments? Because I really want to say that she didn't love Odysseus, but there's all this stuff that she says she loves him. And she protests to Hermes that she loves it. Well, okay, what do? I put my topic sentence in the middle. And then you lead your reader along with a certain amount of evidence for the wrong side.
then you have the adversative particle. But, or yet, or nevertheless, or although. And you tell them what the real thing is. And then you go the other direction the whole way.
Thomas Aquinas does this all the time. He'll give you a question, and he'll say, you know, is there a God? It would seem not. Tra-la, 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 tra-la. But then he gives you his real opinion and answers every objection systematically. It's the seek it non strategy, but anyway, it's the term.
Okay, so, the wrong way.
You know what adverse means? Like going against? Adversative particles, things like but.
Then lead the reader the right way.
Okay, I'm being a little broad and facetious when I say the wrong way and the right way, but the way you want to go and the way you don't want to go. So, all right. There are three possible, actually there are many other possible strategies, but these are three elementary strategies. Where you, what happens here is that you exercise the reader's reasoning. So it involves the reader, but not in this kind of overwhelming emotional way that you do when you just build everything up and slam them with your idea at the end. This shows you being reasonable. And it's to involve the reader intellectually. And it works very well, especially for counter-arguments, but it can work at other times, too. Okay, so let's take a look at these three paragraphs. Okay. Among all who sacrifice future advantage to present inclinations, scarcely any gain so little as those that suffer themselves to freeze in idleness. Others are corrupted by some enjoyment of more or less power to gratify the passions, but to neglect our duties merely to avoid the labor of performing them, a labor which is always punctually rewarded, is surely to sink under weak temptations. Idleness can never secure tranquility. The call of reason and of conscience will pierce the closest pavilion of the sluggard, and though it may not have force to drive him from his down, it will be loud enough to hinder him from sleep. These moments which he cannot resolve to make useful by devoting them to the great business of his being will still be usurped by powers that will not leave them to his disposal. Remorse and vexation will seize upon them and forbid him to enjoy what he is so desirous to appropriate. Okay, it's a fairly stiff 18th century paragraph. But he develops it by giving you various instances of the thing that he's describing. I probably should have chosen something a little less stiff, but okay. Yes. Dr. Baldwin agrees. She's right. She's always right. Anyway, so this is the first kind of strategy. He's giving you a lot of examples of the same thing. He's elaborating on the examples, explaining the examples, you know. The reason, what idleness is, not to want to do the labor, and what kinds of ways you suffer. You suffer from lack of sleep, and you suffer from doing useless tasks and all that. So he gives you this list of things, but it all comes after his first sentence, which tells you what's going on. Now, let's look at the second example here. This is a murder mystery style. This is George Orwell shooting an elephant, which he did, though not on paper. Okay. He's working as a colonial policeman when England is ruling India, and he's been in a situation. An elephant killed somebody, and he's been called upon to shoot it. Afterwards, of course, there were endless discussions about the shooting of the elephant. The owner was furious, but he was only an Indian and could do nothing. Besides, legally, I'd done the right thing, for a mad elephant has to be killed like a mad dog if its owner fails to control it. Among the Europeans, opinion was divided. The older men said I was right. The younger men said it was a damn shame to shoot an elephant for killing a coolie, because an elephant was worth more than any damn Korangi coolie. And afterwards, I was very glad that the coolie had been killed. It put me legally in the right, and it gave me a sufficient pretext for shooting the elephant. I often wondered whether any of the others grasped that I had done it solely to avoid looking a fool. So you see, all of these various legal pretexts and arguments and all this racism, and he knows what solves the mystery at the end is, I didn't do it because the law told me to do it, and I didn't do it because I'm a racist, and I didn't do it because I was afraid of a mad elephant. I did it because I was embarrassed not to do it. And that's actually the whole argument of the thing, that as a colonialist policeman, he had to kind of keep up appearances as someone who was decisive. And he's very uneasy about that, and rightly so. Okay, so you have this example of it. Now, let's look at the turn. This is in Jane Austen. Again, these aren't the greatest examples, probably, but they're what I could think of at the moment. Mr. Dashwood's disappointment was at first severe, but his temper was cheerful and sanguine, and he might reasonably hope to live many years by living economically, laid by a considerable sum from the produce of an estate already large and capable of almost immediate improvement. But the fortune which had been so tardy in coming was his only 1/12 month. He survived his uncle no longer, and £10,000, including the late legacies, was all that remained for his widow and daughters. So you have us. There's a little hint that it's not going to be quite so cheerful, but you're leading us on into cheerful things that he can do to make the estate, make his family rich. But, and then you go back, and they have only £10,000, which is just actually a fantastic amount of money in those days. But never mind. £60 was a year's income if you wanted a servant or two. Think about it. Anyway, now, what I want you to do is practice. As you sit here, I'm going to count you off. One, two, three, 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 one, two, three. Okay, remember your number. Do not put it on this white sheet of paper. Put your name on the white sheet of paper, because we need something to identify you. Okay? All right. Then, answer this question, which is on the back of your paper. And do it according to the strategy. I don't care whether it's true or false, what you argue. At the moment, I don't care whether your evidence is good or bad. What I care about is your paragraph strategy. All right? So, number ones, answer this question with this strategy. Number two, answer with this strategy. Number three, answer with this strategy. Three or four or five sentences. Bert? Okay. Was Odysseus the one responsible for the loss of his crew, or the crew members themselves? Just answer that question.
By your chosen, by your numerical strategy. I don't care if it's a good argument or not. Just give me the right strategy.
So you can say, it was Odysseus. Or you can say, it was them. I don't care. We'll take about 7 minutes for this. Try to be legible. Someone else is going to have to read this. Thank you.
I'd wrap it up fairly soon. So if you're strategy two, you better be getting to that topic sentence. Who hasn't got a paper to, okay, everybody, okay. All right, so I'll give you about 2 or 3 minutes to read this. Some things take longer to decipher than others. Has everybody decided the number and written the number?
Yep.
Anybody not written the number? Okay. We'll start at this corner. Whose paper do you have?
Elizabeth's bench.
Okay. What number did you get?
2.
Was that true?
Yep.
Yay. Okay. What number, who did you have?
Mr.
Okay. And what strategy did you get? Was that okay? Good.
There's one on this, but it's written in red ink. So.
Okay.
My name's on the
top.
Yeah.
Oh, that one's
oh no.
Okay, so somebody was writing in red ink.
Joe. All right. So I say strategy one.
Okay. And he was right. Okay. What? Who?
I have metal and snow.
So what?
Was it one?
Okay, now, then the question is it a question of reading or writing? What is her topic sentence?
I would say it would be the second sentence, but her thought throughout the entire thing was uniform, which is why I thought it was wrong.
So there was no sense of direction. So, yeah? So yours was what, actually?
The middle-ish sentence, which okay. She did put her topic sentence in the middle, but her whole paragraph had the same direction it was going.
Okay, so what we needed was a little bit more sense of conflict, drama. Okay, which one did you have?
Joseph.
Joseph illegible. Okay, and what was?
I think he was. I think it was number three.
Was it?
It was number one.
It was number one. Okay, what did you think his topic sentence was?
I thought it was him. He said that.
Okay, it's Joseph illegible, but.
While the folly of many of the maids led to their deaths, it was more after Odysseus himself's curiosity and hubris which tested their fate. That's what I thought the topic was.
Okay, was that your topic sentence?
Well, the first two sentences were sort of the same.
Ah, okay. So you may want to be a little clearer and less repetitive, but okay. All right, who did you have?
I had Mary Haywood.
Mary Haywood, okay. What number?
Got number one.
All right, okay.
Mary Cole.
Okay, what did you?
Was it two?
Yeah. Okay.
I have Jeremy Robbins. I would say two.
Whoa.
Well, you answer the question, so it would be, I could see it's two or three.
There's
sort of an adversative aspect.
That was kind of I meant it as a trick.
We have here Odysseus, Penelope, and Dr. Baldwin. Yes.
Because I meant it actually as a one.
It seemed like I went into the question.
Then I ended with a question that undermined the entire paragraph. Okay, so the question is, when you undermine the whole paragraph, does that mean that the topic sentence is the last thing that undermined everything? Or is undermining everything in the paragraph a way of actually developing the topic sentence? I don't mean to blow the minds here, but I wanted to enter the possibility that you might even have a double-decker topic sentence.
Yes, you can, though I was...
Traditional topic sentence.
I was working on an elementary level here, guys, but okay. we're taking the first step, but okay, there is.
Sorry, why didn't we not?
It is more complex.
I love this because I know I'm one of those professors that's always like, the main point and first, you know, put it up front. You know, don't do any of this stuff at the end, you know, like, woo, it's dangerous stuff. And the fact is, Dr. Waterman Ward is treating you at a very sophisticated level because to pull off two and three, that requires skill. Right? As opposed to like writing all night and finally at 3 a.m. you figure out what you're going to say and that's your topic sentence because it's the last thing you wrote.
Yeah, don't do that.
Right? But to actually build towards the end, you have to be in control mode.
You have to know what the topic sentence was going to
be.
So
I just wanted to give my reader a little bit of help to set out what looks like it's a dummy use so topic sentence. A dummy
she gave you help. All right.
Okay,
so. There are more advanced levels where you do these sort of deceptive strategies. I was working on the straightforward ones, which you will need it the day before. However, there are more subtle ones. There's a lot more to learn. And how about you telling me who you wrote? Who you had?
Gabriella Sanchez.
Okay, and what was your number?
Three.
Okay. All right.
And Jeremy.
And?
One.
Okay. Was that true? Okay.
And Paul Zendaya.
Okay.
And two.
Yes.
All right. Good. So.
Jack Turner, and that was a one.
Was it a one?
It was a one.
Okay.
I have Ian Flynn. Okay, and I have a three.
Bingo.
All right. Tom.
I have no eyes.
Ah, Nemo.
But I believe it was a one.
Okay, the mystery student wrote a one. Could you give us the mystery student's topic sentence?
Odysseus was responsible for the loss of his whole crew.
Okay, was that a one? Okay, so we now know who the mystery student is. That person who never turns in the, you know, I have a line for you in my grade book. Mystery student. Very uneven performance. Okay.
I got Ariana's and number three.
Okay.
Right. I got Jackie's.
Oh. Number two. All right. Well, that was easy because you were sitting next to each other and you knew your numbers too. Jack, who did you have?
I got Bridget Kennedy's.
Okay. And which number was that?
Two.
Bridget Kennedy?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I have Julia's. And I said three.
Yeah. Okay.
I have Thomas Schubert, and I said one.
Is there a Thomas Schubert in the house?
I have two.
Ooh, okay. So let's see if it's reader or writer. What was the topic sentence?
I thought it was members of the crew of Odysseus perish in multiple places, and then he seems to follow it up with examples of where they perish.
Okay. Now, the question was it Odysseus's fault or was it his crew's? So is there something about fault in there?
At the end, it says, Odysseus decided to remain in Polyphemus's abode. He decided to pass by the rocks of Scylla and who angered the sea god Poseidon, and thus he was responsible for his crew's demise.
Ah, so this was a case in which you put the topic sentence at the end, and you read it, perhaps because you're used to reading topic sentences at the beginning, as if it were in the wrong place. Watch as you're reading for what the main point is, which is not always at the beginning. And this is both an exercise in writing and in reading. Okay? So let's have it from you.
Michael Kerner, three.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got Christian David, and two.
Christian?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, good to know. Okay.
I got Elizabeth McMahon.
McMahon.
Okay. One?
Yeah.
Good.
And I got Sam Walter
Sheen. Walter Sheen?
I don't know. Is it a one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got Thomas Hogan, one.
Okay. You're next.
I got Catherine Teller, for a three.
Yes.
Good.
I got Jason Stafford as a one.
Yes.
You can read that.
She's going to be teaching our paleography course.
I got Teresa and I got a two.
Okay.
I got Julian and a two.
Yes.
Okay.
You got Rafael and Molina. One.
Yes, two.
Okay, so what was the topic sentence?
Odysseus was caught by the wrath of the gods.
Was that your topic sentence?
As a note, where it says something.
Okay, read another sentence and see if that's the topic sentence.
Odysseus would be to blame, but he fought to protect his men when he took on the wrath of the gods.
Is that your topic sentence?
Yeah.
Okay, so where was that?
First of all, it didn't seem to. Because the first sentence was caught by the wrath of the gods. The last sentence was his crew knowingly followed a lion.
Okay. Was that the topic sentence? His crew knowingly followed a lying man?
What was the question?
The question was, is that your topic sentence?
No. It was the one that Odysseus
said. I see.
We
didn't see that the sentences after the topic sentence, your topic sentence, didn't quite line up with the objection you were raising.
So this is a strategy three that doesn't seem to answer the objection. Okay. There could be more subtle
ways. I was teaching you a very elementary way. But yeah, if you want the reader to know where the main point is, and you're doing this sort of turn in the middle, you have to make it fairly clear. And so this may have been more, because I might have taken that last sentence as a topic sentence. It's very hard to tell what the structure is. So there's a question. Okay. Well, how about you?
I had Matt, and I said it was a one.
Yep.
Okay.
I had Jacob, Della.
Pietro.
I'm sorry?
Della Pietro.
Yes, Della Pietro. I said two.
It was number three.
Ooh.
Okay, so what did you think his topic sentence was? Had to be at the end, right?
However, I mean, it's such a long sentence. There are only, a few sentences. Still, at even other times, Odysseus is presumptuous, arrogant. Okay, no, it starts after the semicolon, I guess. However, Odysseus is not irresponsible, and although he leads his men into dangerous situations with monsters and gods, he nevertheless always comes around to recognize his improprieties and seeks to lead his men to the harbor of safety.
Is that your topic sentence?
So I tried to use number three by using words like nevertheless.
Okay. But.
But it's your last sentence.
So you needed a paragraph that was further developed. You needed more stuff in it in order to give people a sense of going here and then going there. Of course, you only had 7 minutes, so you were okay. And you write long sentences, evidently. What number did you have?
I say it's a two.
Yeah.
And who? Okay, it's a two. All right. So in a smaller class, I would do it again, but I think we're done. Okay.
You could.